there are so many women out there that are taking a stand against gender inequality and are paving the way for the future generation. Ordinary women that are creating a more inclusive and powerful society, free from stereotypes, racism and sexism. And I'm here to share their stories with all of you. Stay tuned, because this is WEN Power, your source of inspiring, powerful and positive stories. And I'm here to discover how we can change the narrative, one story at a time. I am your host, Ilaria Biancacci, journalist and founder of WEN Power.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of WEN Power podcast. Today I'm here with Annie Bartley. She's the founder of I Am Female, an award-winning queer-led design and branding agency powered by women. Hello, Annie, and welcome to the WEN Power podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So colorful and such a powerful conversation I'm sure we're going to have today. I will like to ask you a question that I like all my guests, and is what is that you're standing for today, Annie?
So I stand for better representation, opportunities and pay for women in the creative industry, and to challenge the current culture of the lack of female representation within leadership roles.
Well, I mean, that's a very important fight, and it's something very important to stand for, especially because, as we both know, everywhere we move around, it's a male-dominated field. And yeah, it's very, very hard for women to, you know, break this ceiling and be represented and fully included in all the spaces. So, and that's why we're here today, to share your story, hopefully to empower more women creative out there that might find very inspirational your journey. Maybe they would like to even join I Am Female, who knows, or work with you. So we are here just to share your story and to inspire other women. You ready for that?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Perfect. So my first question for you is just to get to know you a little bit better. So tell me, who is Annie? What motivates you to wake up every day, and what grounds you? And especially if there is a person or a woman maybe in particular that inspires you through your journey.
Yeah. So I suppose, as an overall, I'm quite a wild card. So I believe that I was born with a passion to make a difference. But I think as a kid, I didn't really know where that was. So I kind of like bounced around a little bit until I started to build a career as a creative. And then once I was in that industry, in the creative industry, and started to experience a lot of negative after negative encounters and interactions, purely because of my gender, it started to become clear to me that the difference I wanted to make was for better representation of women in the creative industry, but also to open more conversations about how women are treated in the industry. And I think that's really important. So yeah, for me, that's what motivates me every day. It's what, especially on difficult days or days I feel lost, I remember why I launched the agency. And I launched it off the back of my own experiences and not wanting other women in the creative industry or other women anywhere really to have to go through the experiences I went through, or at least have the knowledge of the power that we have within our voices, despite of what we're told to either keep us quiet or keep us down. So I think once I launched the agency, this really became like a life purpose rather than just I suppose a career. And yeah, it's really that sort of striving to make a difference that is what wakes me up every day, and definitely what grounds me, reminds me of you know, it's not just it's a collective voice of all women. It's all of our experiences, and listening to other women's experiences in the industry as well helps just keep you grounded and keep you realizing why it is that I'm doing this.
And any person in particular that inspire you or motivate you, I don't know, within your family or books you read, I don't know, anyone?
Yeah, so actually I've got a very big inspiration, and I've never actually told her this. So early on in my career, I was given a lot of opportunities by this one woman who's amazing. She had her own businesses, but she had no obligation to help me at all in any of my career. But she really made an effort, whether she saw something in me, to help push me in my career, and everything that she did to help me really inspired me to help other people, and also to realize how small of a difference you need to make a bigger difference, like how small of an impact that you can have on someone's life that will end up making a big difference. Because maybe she doesn't realize that actually the little things that she did to either advocate for me to be paid more, or helping like give me tips in the stuff that I was doing, those made huge impact in my career and in my life. So I always strive to try and do what she did for me, whether she realizes she's done that or not.
And outside, I am female, so outside your day-to-day work, what do you like to do? What are you inspired by? And how do you, you know, who is Hani outside I am female?
I've always been a creative. I do a lot of artwork and painting. You can see a lot of my artwork behind me. But I raised my 4-year-old daughter. She's a massive driving force as well to why I do what I do. But everything to do with the agency, I think I'm always working on that. And apart from other, like taking a step back to do like more personal projects, hang out with my daughter, try and stay inspired as possible, really working towards the mission of the agency is actually what I do in outside of the agency as well as in it. So it really kind of encompasses everything that I do. And so it kind of seeps its little way into different aspects.
I think this is one of the most inspirational traits that I keep finding in every woman I interview. And because mostly they are also entrepreneurs, or they have their own business, or, you know, they have their own enterprise, and it's how it shapes our life anyway. So we can't really switch off from what we're doing, and it becomes part of us and part of who we are. Of course, we do, you know, go to the gym, do take care of our daughters, families, and so on, you know, any other normal part of our life. But the rest is like everything is around our mission and our purpose. And I think this is really, really inspirational. It means that, you know, we really believe in this, and we wanted to have an impact and make a change that is everlasting. No?
Yeah, 100%.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the philosophy that is behind I Am Female and the way it drives innovative and bold design solution for your clients?
Yeah, so I launched I Am Female to showcase how incredible women are in the creative industry, how much talent, how much skill that there is there, and how it's being overlooked and you know, not being used to its potential. So I think this passion to showcase incredible talent means that I always strive to create incredible designs. And we really focus about having the user at the center of our design, always. And we strive to design intelligently, thoughtfully, and with purpose. And I really think it's those foundations that are very much linked to our philosophy and our mission. It's what makes up our design process. So that means that we're always constantly like driving innovative and bold ideas, because we're always looking to create bigger, to create better, to look at like different ways that we can achieve like amazing outcomes for our clients. And because we're always moving and we're never staying still, that really, like, it's those foundations that that really help us to sort of push for bigger and better.
And before launching I Am Female, you already mentioned this comes, you know, from your own experience as a designer, in the creative industry. So you have 15 years of experience before actually launching I Am Female. And I'm curious to know how your experience and your, you know, maybe the challenges you face or opportunities you had on your journey, they shape you to be first, you know, a designer, a creative yourself, and then a director, and then, you know, the founder of I Am Female.
Yeah, I think you know what? My experience has really helped me, I think, from a leader perspective, to look at how you can lead more mindfully. I'm still learning like how to do that more effectively, but as a neurodivergent, it is like our brains are processed to, you know, take information in differently. And having that understanding that as individuals, we process everything differently, we have different responses. I think being more mindful about the people that you work with and trying to understand how they work and also how to get the best out of them. So, for example, I was quite, I wanted to understand more how individuals worked. So really like small changes I like brought in, for example, like asking people how they prefer to receive feedback or talk about issues, whether it's in person, do they want it on email or Slack? Like, what's the most effective way that they can absorb that information, take it and use it to build on themselves? And I think understanding or trying to understand people's needs, which, you know, is difficult, but I think, and you don't always get it right, but I think if you strive to lead with mindfulness and an understanding that as individuals, we have, there's so much diversity in how we process information. For me, having that as a forefront based on my experiences, those were really kind of the areas that I took from my negative experiences. And there's a lot of positive traits that I have in terms of how I work that are actually built on toxic and negative experiences, my abilities to work really fast, to generate like ideas, like this, like I'm able to do that, but I've learned that in very toxic ways. So it's really trying to unravel how to get there, but in a different way, so that people don't have to experience those like negative situations, but you can still get to the end. And obviously there's a lot within there to try and unpack, but yeah, mindfulness for me is really at the forefront of how I try and lead.
And always referring to your experience, I believe that the creative field has changed a bit since the first time you actually, since the first day you step into it. But I believe from what you said as well, and from what I can read, that it still needs a lot of changes to be truly inclusive and diverse and representative of the society. So from your experience, but also from, you know, what the work you do with I Am Female, what do you think is still missing in the creative fields? And what do you think have been the improvement?
So, you know, there have been strides made in terms of more women within senior roles. I think that's the biggest gap is, I'll be talking to like different agencies and you'll either have people say, yeah, we've got a lot of women in our team. And then you're like, where are they in your team? And they're either just like all at one level. And then as you're going up the like senior roles, it's getting less and less and less. And I think there's a massive gap in opening up the same types of opportunities. But then it's also understanding the other obstacles that women face in the creative industry that hinder those opportunities, that like the default male thinking doesn't take into account. And that's, for example, in terms of just like the different ways in which you work, but also like as the woman, wanting to like have a family, like men can have families, women can have families, but how the creative industry responds to those and how work places respond to those, there's still a massive gap, and there's not the compensation there in terms of like time or different opportunities to help women adjust back into the industry, because we're still meant to just fit in to an industry that has always been set up for men. It's been always set up with a default male thinking, and that still persists. And until we start thinking as women, as an equal next to men rather than an other, you're always going to have that gap. So I think that's what still needs to be changed.
We talk about your leadership and what you brought from your own experience into I Am Female. I also would like to understand how you developed yourself and how you you grow into becoming a leader and being a business owner and having something that, you know, belongs to you, has your name on it, and feeling the responsibility, you have something, a team to take care of, and all that comes with it. So how have you changed in the years, and what have you learned from your experience that you bring into to today?
Oh my God, a lot. Do you know what? I think it's a wild ride. I think I've always worked for myself. I've never been employed. So I think for me, you know, you're always constantly falling and getting back up again. You're always doing stuff that you don't know. And I think, you know, everyone has a level of imposter syndrome. And once you realize that actually most people don't know what they're doing, and in essence, being an entrepreneur and a business owner, that you're always going to know like what you're not doing, because you have to learn something new. And if you want to push yourself in a different direction, or you want to push yourself for higher goals, there's always something that you have to learn. So it's like the acknowledgement that actually that's the normal, the complete massive roller coaster that you're always on, where you're like, oh my God, what have I done? This is brilliant. Oh my God. Like, that's also normal. So there was a lot of learning from my side about, just the sort of day to days of business, that I'd never like had any courses or anything like that. So it was really like on the ground running. But that took a lot, because if we go back and look at imposter syndrome, you know, I've always had a lot of self-doubt in terms of the stuff that I was doing, where I was going to go, if I was able to do that. You know, those doubts are always there. But as I realized that, you know, it's actually a really good place to feel uncomfortable and to be fearful of what you're going to do, because it's in those moments that you're actually growing and evolving. You know, you can't grow and evolve in your comfort zone. You have to be out of it. So learning that, and still difficult to sit and be uncomfortable, but I think, that was like a massive learning in terms of running a business and leading a team. And it's just trying to give yourself a break a little bit sometimes, because there's a lot of responsibilities on your shoulders. And I think if you're just striving to go forward, you're always going to trip up and get back, like you've just got to get back up again and carry on going.
True. And if there was an advice that you like to give to all the young women creatives that are listening to us today, maybe they are planning, you know, they finished studying, they are stepping into their career, or maybe they even thinking to launch their own company. From your experience, what advice would you give to them?
Well, I would say know your worth. Be authentic to yourself and who you are. And don't compare yourself, which is really easy to say and super difficult to do. But comparison kills creativity. And, you know, we all fall into the doom scroll of Instagram. And especially as I follow like so many illustrators and all like loads of other creatives, it's easy for you to keep going and go, oh, well, actually, there's so many people that are better than me. When actually, you know, there's space for everyone. There's space for everyone, like within the industry. So what you've got to remember is keep your own authenticity in what it is that you want to do. But I think being proactive and looking at different ways that you can push yourself forward is also really important. You know, yes, opportunities might come to you and drop on your lap, but you've got to be proactive in going out there and looking for those opportunities and doing wild things, like doing a random pitch to someone that hasn't asked for it and going to get it, waiting outside somebody's office to try and get a meeting. Like, that proactiveness is really going to help you get the stuff that you want to do. But I think as a designer, one of the things that I've learned that I always struggled doing was using my own voice to share my ideas. I think depending on in the agency that you're in and the workplace, you know, great ideas don't just come from high positions. Great ideas come from everywhere, whether you're a junior designer, you can be an intern. And I think sharing your ideas wherever you are and using your voice and advocating for your ideas gets easier the more you do it. But I think I wish I'd have known that when I was younger, that, okay, you know, I'm not senior, I'm not, my idea's probably not that good. They come from everywhere. So I think use your voice, you know, it will really elevate you. So make sure that you share your ideas and push yourself out there.
This is a very kind reminder to everyone, not just for, you know, women working in the creative industries. It's like literally every field, and even for men. Although for men maybe comes a little bit easier, for women we're always like self-doubting ourselves maybe 2-3 times more before we actually ask a question, ask for a pay rise, propose an idea. And as I said, a kind reminder to, you know, speak up and don't be afraid. Worst case scenario, they're going to say no, but at least you push your idea and, you know, you speak up. And that's really, really important, I think, no?
Yeah, because I think it's better to get a no than to go, I should have said something.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, the worst thing, someone's going to say no or laugh at your idea, but that's fine. Take it. Just keep sharing. Keep sharing, because at one point you've almost got to like say your ideas and disconnect yourself from that. Move on, say the next idea, as if you're just putting loads and loads out there and you just don't think about whether it's someone's going to come back with it. And then it just becomes like a process of just sharing. And then every time you do, it gets easier and easier and easier. Mm.
And I think as well, the most important thing is to do not let this no stop us, stop you. You know? They might say no 100 times, but maybe 101 is going to be a yes. So if you're really passionate and motivated about what you're doing, as you say, you know, you need to keep pushing forward as the opportunity will come, and you will never know where they are hiding, or maybe the next person you're going to speak to is going to open a door for you that you wouldn't expect it if you didn't take that step or go to a networking event, connect with people, even just send a message on LinkedIn, creating connection, you know, just do everything generally, being yourself, and just take a first step.
Yeah, like for example, there was a period brand that I've been wanting to work with, and I was literally just looking at the founders, like, and I found that they were doing a talk, this intimate talk, and I just went it, like, I just last minute like brought a ticket to the talk, went to see them, like waited at the end to talk to them, and you know, now I've got this connection, and now we're looking at a way of working together. So you really just have to kind of look out, also out of the digital space, like you be present as a like human, like in their spaces as well, and find different ways to, you know, so that they can see you, because, you know, we get loads of messages on LinkedIn or like Facebook and stuff like that, and it gets lost in the ether. So the power of in person is massive.
I couldn't agree more. Even if this is the artificial intelligence era, human interaction is something that cannot be replaced, and showing your face and being in the places is actually sometimes more helpful, more efficient, you know. I think
you get the energies of people as well. Yes. Like, I think that's what's missed with digital, like, you know, we need to like, I think when you know about working with someone, it's a lot about energies aligning, about, you know, that working relationship. And sometimes that's lost digitally. You can't really get that. And that's why, and I think more and more now, I've done networking for like pre-pandemic, pandemic, and then now. And although after the pandemic, it was very tiring to go back in person. Now that's all I want to do is just in-person stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, true. The same for me. I never enjoyed a Zoom networking event. I mean, it was great because even though there was a pandemic, we still connected. We can still interact with people everywhere in the world. But nothing can change the vibe that you have when you meet people in person. It's totally different.
That little magic, isn't it? It's that little magic connection that you'll only get in person.
And good memories as well. Sometimes I've done the same, went to a networking event by myself without knowing anyone. And, you know, you meet new people, but it's just the experience as well. And remember that you get out of your comfort zone for once, and it wasn't that scary. So you can do it again one more time. Maybe you put it even as a once a month you do something. I tend to do this, like once a month I do something that makes me feel uncomfortable. So I just remind myself that I actually can do it.
You know? That's a really good to do something.
Thanks for networking.
Yeah.
And because the main focus of I Am Female is to bring the focus on women and on the incredible talents that women have when we look at creative and designers. And what do you think are the particular, if there is anything, and I'm sure there is, that women brings to the table that gives, you know, a different perspective on the job and on the field?
Yeah, you know, I think creativity is best when you have like diversity of like life experience. You know, we almost like we manifest our creativity based on like what we've done in our lives. So women's experiences are a lot different from men's, as are you know, people of different like race, sexuality, all of that. So, you know, women, there's so many almost like misconceptions of women, especially when it comes to like emotionally. And actually, I think we're more emotionally balanced to handle a lot of more high pressure situations. You know, I think it, like historically, there's a misunderstanding of what an emotion is. And so I actually think we're better equipped to deal with more high stress situations and also work across multiple different projects at the same time. You know, you only have to look at how someone can multitask with four children to know that, well, she can definitely run a company. And like, if anyone can look after like a few children, then they can definitely run a world. So there's so much leadership skills that women naturally have, like within us. And that brings a lot to the creative process. And I think our experiences as well really help diversify how we come up with ideas. So that's why it's so important to have women in positions that in decision-making positions. It can't just be one gender. It can't just be one race. We need all of that diversity to get a more rounded picture for the client, and it enriches and makes more dynamic designs.
Also, because then the outcome otherwise will just speak one language, one color, one experience. No, if everyone in the lines of a creative agency are, I don't know, white middle-class men, the product, the outcome, how would you even connect with your clients, with your customer, to make something that actually truly engage, you know, with the audience you're talking to? So it does have a tremendous effect on the outcome as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It has a massive impact. It has a massive impact. And that's why, you know, the creative industry is such a melting pot of ideas. Like, it's pretty much no holds barred. Mm. So it seems so, like, illogical to me that it's filled with such a one perspective. Like, creativity is, like, endless. That it has no boundaries. Yet, it being so male dominated, it has its boundaries, because you're now just bound to that one train of thought and that one perspective. So I don't understand that. Like, that doesn't make sense in an industry where really it should be such a fluid thought machine.
Exactly. And have you ever watched the TV or saw an advertisement somewhere and thought, oh my God, if we were doing it, we would have done it better, or, you know, or clearly understand that that's made by a man, or, you know, designed by a male perspective? Do you have that feeling?
Yeah. There's so many things you just think, look, you've only just got to look at like Tampax adverts to then go, no woman has been consulted in this process, because I don't want to go mountain climbing on my period wearing white shorts. No woman wants to do that. And I think, you can really see. And I've even worked or been working in agencies before where I've seen other projects come out, and you've been shown them, and you look at them and you think, there's not been one woman on here, and it's four women. Hmm. There was one that I was working, not on, but like it was around the same time, and it was actually so offensive to women, and all the people that had made it were men. They were like, this is great. And you're just like, no woman's going to want to buy that, because that's actually really offensive. So there's just that complete, there's that, it's that missing perspective And unfortunately, I think that product that was launched was like discontinued in a year.
No wonder why.
Yeah, I know. You're like, maybe it was because of that.
They should have recruited you to the brand. That advert.
You know what? It's stuff like that where I think at that time, I saw it. I wasn't on it. But now I would have been like, you can't put that out. But yeah. At the time, you know, especially if you're at a lower position, you don't think that you have the authority to say that. But really, express your opinions. Your opinions are valid. And actually, someone might go, no, hold on a minute, you're right. So I would have gone, you really can't put that out. I didn't say anything at the time. I looked at it and internally I went, that you can't put that out.
I think this goes back to what we were saying before, you know, speaking up and using your voice. Sometimes you find yourself, you're given an opportunity, you are in a company, maybe you're in a junior role, and you belong to any of those underrepresented and marginalized group, you finally made it to, and then you feel like, maybe if I want to hold on to my position, I should just shush and don't say anything. And that's what it's preventing as well, to make a change happening in a quicker time as well. Sometimes, you know, not be afraid to say what you think, give a feedback. If it doesn't not work and it doesn't talk to you and it's not representative of you, just, you know, say it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I think it's those cultures within like toxic workplaces that foster that I can't say anything or else I'll be fired or get rid of that job. That's not a great culture to have within there, but you know, that's not everywhere, but there's a still large part of that there, especially when you are junior. And so, you know, there's that old culture that needs to be changed as well. That also, you know, that does affect, you know, everyone as well. So that's not just a purely like woman's problem. That culture doesn't benefit anyone.
No, true. True. If we look at all people with disabilities, women, different cultural groups, different backgrounds, religions, everything that is different and is not represented, then somehow when you find yourself in a position, then you also, because of the culture, you are scared to speak up.
Yeah.
And that's what they put in your mind constantly. It's a constant reminder that you got here. So, you know, better just stay there and help us. We're raising our quota, but please do not speak up.
That's how people keep you quiet, and that's how people technically keep you in your place. But we're not meant to stay in our place.
No, that's the
main thing. We're never meant to stay in our place.
And the hope is that there are even more people like you outside, that they see something wrong in the system and decide to take a stand against it and to do something about it. And if it's not going to the full extent of building your own company, try to actually do that in the place you work and for the people that will come after you, so you can create a culture that is more inclusive, and you can make, even it's a small change, but at least, you know, you are not a bystander and you actively taking action.
Yeah. And I think as well, you know, when we're talking about this subject, I think a lot of the times it seems that you have to do something really massive, like, I don't know, a march or something like that. But actually, you just like speaking up to HR about an issue, like something as you just saying, I don't think that was right, and then saying it again. Like when someone sees you do something and it's small, you have a massive effect on that they might as well do that. And whether that's just a tiny thing that they've said, that's starting something. So you don't always have to do massive things. You can do a tiny thing because it's still impactful. And I think that's something people are like, you have to do massive things to make impact. No, if everyone did something really tiny, overall that has a massive impact.
Yeah, it's the domino effect.
Yeah.
Just, and because you see someone doing it, you feel encouraged
to
pick up as well. So one voice becomes two, and then 5, 10, 15, and then slowly you can actually make a change. So little pills, little reminders here and there, you know, how to be more change makers in your own, within your own role, company, or future business, just keep in mind that you do it. It might look small at the beginning, but
you're never too small or insignificant to make a difference.
No, exactly. Going back to I Am Female, but also on your experience previously, you work with many big companies, I would like to know if there is any particular project you are very proud of, maybe for the impact they made, for the result they brought, obviously if you can disclose and talk about it with us.
Yeah, so I've got, there's like a smaller project that I did and then actually a larger one. So like, but I created a custom illustration for a BBC Bite Size short working with an animator. So I was tasked with creating a character, which ends up being this little bear, to help 11 to 16 year olds talk more openly about mental health, or at least giving them the tools to be able to, and the language to be able to open up about their mental health. And as someone who has always struggled with multiple disorders, especially as a child, being able to resonate with that end user to create something that was like powerful and usable, that was really impactful for me, but also like for the project. And I think it's important to work with creatives that understand like the brief, your brand understands you, and the finite details of a project, because I think when you're able to relate. And this comes back to experience. This comes back to like the diversity of life experience. You're able to bring the most impact to your client. So for me, that was a really important project that I did, mainly because I felt that, you know, I'd given something back to little me. But I think a project that I was really proud of was the redesign that we did for Impulse. So I used their fragrances as a teenager, mainly to try and cover up the fact that I'd been smoking, which I don't do anymore, but which I think made no difference. My mum could still smell the smoke. But that was really nostalgic for me. But I think what I loved most about that project was actually really geeky for me, because there was a real need for like an in-depth technical understanding of how to print, but also how to apply that. And as an agency, this is our area of expertise. So this specific project had only like a 6-color limit when it was going to print. One was taken by black, one was taken by white, one was for the subject for the can, and then one was like for the warning sign on the back. So we actually had a very tight brief of only being able to use 2 colors to play with. So the designs that we proposed and executed use the process of working with tints in production to achieve multiple shades of the same color. So really the impact of our knowledge and understanding of how to design for print and actually like apply that meant that we were able to create dynamic designs, but without having the client to pay for additional colors, which was a massive, massive increase for them. But they didn't have to compromise on the design in what we were doing. So that was really challenging. How are we going to do this? Like, what do you mean we have 2 colors? And the illustrations that we did at the end, they worked really, really well. So if you're going to Boots, Superdrug, Tesco's, wherever you can find them, there was a lot of technical thought and problem solving in that project. And really love the outcome, but actually really love solving the problems. And I think when it comes to design is all about solving problems. So yes, we are creative, but we have to be even more creative in how we come up with solutions.
This is my curiosity. How are you able to maintain a balance between the needs of the of each client, and, you know, as you already explained with this example, so staying true to what they ask you in the brief, but also to the approach, very unapologetic approach of I Am Female?
Well, I think our clients work with us because they want an unapologetic approach, or they want that boldness. So that doesn't necessarily change, but, you know, as well, I think clients work with us because they like our energy, what we bring to the table, our processes and the expertise that we have. But, you know, of course, I've learned that we're not suitable for all clients and all clients aren't suitable for us. And you know what? That's okay. But I think for us to be able to design so wildly and creatively and give ourselves that that real breadth of exploration, it's really important for us to have like good structure, good processes, smooth onboarding, like real tight communication, and managing our clients' expectations. So I think having those in place and that structure then really helps us to just go, well, then we can do like X, Y, Z and just go like a little bit wild with exactly how we do it.
Being in design and in the creative industry requires to stay inspired and relevant every day, as this is a ever-changing field. How do you do that? And do you have any advice maybe for all the younger creatives that are following us right now?
So I'm like a human sponge. I literally get inspiration from everywhere at like any time. So I surround myself with lots of different inputs, whether that's music, galleries, nature. Like inspiration is all around us. It can be in the mundane, it can be in the like the elaborate. So I think it's really important to never stop being curious and never stop absorbing, but also being really fluid and flexible with your skills and yourself in terms of like how you can evolve. Don't be afraid to try new things. And also don't be afraid to try new things, drop it and then try something new. You know, creativity is all about experimenting. So if something doesn't go right, just like try a different thing. Creativity, I think especially for me, I had quite an issue with like perfectionism. So especially in my early careers, I was always, everything had to be perfect. So I never allowed myself to make mistakes or try something new and then it not work. When actually you'll only learn by like failing or not doing something well. So being not afraid to try new things, I think is really important. And also, even if you've not done something to the end, like learn a new skill all the way to the end, guarantee you by just you trying it for a little while, you've already enriched your skills and your perspective. So really, you never really lose. You either win or you learn.
And is there any particular maybe a routine or place that you do or you go to if you feel stuck with your creativity? A place where you go and just, you know, reboot?
Yeah, so I take my dog out. I'll go out with my dog. Well, it's like either walk around the park, one of my favorite walks in London is on South Bank. So I'll either just go down there. There's a lot around, and you've also got the Tate on there, so you can like have a little go in and have a look at that. And those are like really my like go tos. Depends on what the weather is like.
And what's the weirdest place you had an inspiration, like a light bulb moment, if we can say?
Oh,
I'm curious. I don't know.
I had one at the start of the week. It was actually, I won't say the specific part, but it was part of my girlfriend that inspired me that has now launched like me doing a new illustration. And so yeah, really can come from like, that was probably like the weirdest place, because it is a body part. That was something that's created a new input in me. But a leaf, like literally the tiniest things can inspire me to do something.
I'm looking at, I ask you some questions that were not planned, but just because you inspire me to know a little bit more. There is one that I actually didn't write down, but I'm sure we can discuss a little bit. Artificial intelligence, does it scare you if you look at your job, or you see it as an opportunity?
It doesn't scare me. I think I think anyone in the creative industry that has worked with a client, knows that, especially if you have a client that you, with artificial intelligence, you have to ask it very specific things to get an answer. And a lot of times your clients don't really know what they want. So it doesn't scare me at all in that sense, because they have to know specifically what they want to get the best out of AI. And there's loads of like designer memes on that, that kind of points to that, which always makes me laugh. But you know, AI is really good for if you wanted to like generate some color palettes you know, coming up with either just the baseline of like some words to help you get going. So it's actually more, it's good to use as like a stepping stone into, and really like, if you look at the evolution of Photoshop and there's a lot of AI that's been in there for like forever, for like a long period of time. And that, so even, you know, extending images and like content aware, like that's been around for ages and that's technically AI. So I don't think, I also think as well that you need, you can never replace a human element. You can never replace energy and connectivity with another human being and understanding what they want, what their brand means to them, especially when you're working with founders. Like you can't like an AI can't pull that out, because you have to, when especially when you're going through a rebrand, you really have to try and get into the minds of your client to pull stuff out. And often they don't know the stuff that you need to pull out. And so I don't think you'll ever get that from AI. You'll never be able to replicate the human element. There's obviously always parts that, you know, like for example, copywriting and bits like that. You know, you still have copywriters, and copywriters use AI to like to give them a stepping stone into their roles. So there's ways that AI will enhance what you can do, but it will never replace what we can do as creatives.
Nice to hear this optimistic approach. I mean, because
hey, you've got to be optimistic about it.
You have to. But I, as we mentioned at the beginning, human factor is everything, and is what it changed everything as well. So I think machine, and they can make our life easier, maybe, yeah, but they cannot steal completely our job. So let's be optimistic about this, please.
Yeah. Let's manifest that at least, so they don't take over and become
exactly,
more.
Exactly. Exactly. And since we are on the optimistic wave, what are you more hopeful about for the future of I Am Female? Any, you know, I don't know, it's not like your 5-10 years trajectory project kind of question, but to know, you know, what steps are ahead for you.
Yeah, like one of my main focuses really is to start doing a lot more sort of like workshops and talks. So, you know, I think this is really where we can like empower women and also, you know, start challenging like the like cultures within the workplace. So, you know, looking at where, how other agencies can question their own structures that they have, you know, opportunities to get more awareness of the inequality and really how they can foster more inclusive teams. I think, you know, really just constantly talking about this and never being quiet and never going away and like always being loud about it. That is like one of my main focuses really going forward, and then continuing to produce, you know, incredible work by incredible women to also showcase and say, you know, look at the amazing work that we do. As women, we already know we're amazing, let's just be honest. So it's actually bringing men into the conversation to really make it more impactful.
And to work as well. We discussed this in our first chat, to bring more brands, you know, male brands as well on board with I Am Female. So to try to bring a diverse perspective as well to their brands.
Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting thing to look forward to. And in one of my first questions, you refer to a person that inspired you, kind of like a mentor. And my next question is about mentorship and network and support within the creative field. So do you have any, Are you fostering any sort of culture that is has a focus on mentoring within I Am Female? And do you have any, you know, advice for all the young women that are listening to us and that, you know, maybe they want to look for a mentor or mentorship opportunity within the creative field?
Yeah, like, you know, I think mentorship is such a such an incredible, like, empowering you know, program to be a part of. Like, for example, I've never worked under a female creative director and I've never been in a, like, an official mentorship program. And you can, you know, you can feel that, you know, you need that. You need that to help you navigate, like, the industry and to, you know, especially as a young designer, help you just, you know, work and process through lots of new things and to know that actually, like, whatever happening is either okay or what's not okay when you can sort of... either speak up or where to go to. But and whilst, you know, we didn't have, we don't have the structure within the agency to do mentorship programs, I always like to lead like with an example of you know, the experiences that I want the team to have. So we've done a lot of workshops to help strengthen voices within the workplace, whether that's how to talk about money or how to properly talk about like your emotional and mental needs, which I think is really important. And one of the things that I think is most important is not just talking about how we express ourselves, but also looking at, you know, the response that you might get from someone and how to respond to that. Because it's okay for us to go and, you know, speak up, say X, Y, Z, but you've also got people that will say something to you that's really negative. So how do you respond to that negative, like to that negativity? Where, like, where do you go with that? There's still those, you know, sort of toxic cultures there. So it was really important to, for me to be able to try and run workshops that, you know, that foster like stronger voices. But I think for anyone with opportunities to take up a mentorship, like, I'd definitely go for it. Like, for me, I would have loved to, because I was always either contractor, freelancer, like with my own businesses, you know, I never ended up having mentorships, or I never really knew that they were out there. So I think now, if you're in a situation where you can, you know, you have that opportunity, and I also think there's more mentorship options out there. So yeah, really trying to look and find for one, because they will really help you, like, push you forward and structure you, like, mentally as well.
I think for sure what has changed from, I believe we are more or less the same age when we were younger, when we were students or just entering the career, mentoring was not a big topic. No. And you will end up having mentor, but there was not even this label to attach to the person, where, you know, professor at uni, people you met, they will, you know, just bring you under the wing and help you or support you or just put your name in certain places and room when you were not there. But what he was missing as well from my experience was this, not having the opportunity to have a mentor, to have a system of senior people around me that could, you know, help me to navigate certain challenges. So it's really, really important that you said you have this culture in your workplace. And I think I told you this the first time, really love it. The focus on also mental health and the fact, you know, you need to do the things the way you can do it and you can, you know, support it. So, yeah.
And I think as well, like, you know, it goes back to like representation, because having women in leadership roles, you know, you need to see someone to where you want to go, that's someone that's like you as well. So I think, you know, the more women come into leadership roles, you know, the more we can see ourselves in there. So, you know, trying to find mentors that are reflective of you. And I think as a woman, and especially for any, like, you know, women of color, the, you know, the possibility of having that representation is smaller still. So it's actually that representation that needs to grow to help us get the correct mentorship that we need.
Actually, 2024, I start asking all my guests, if there was a word that you would like to choose for 2024, what would that be?
I've got some great vibes for 2024. Honestly, I'm super positive about this. And So I'm going to go on with that. So my word for the year is abundance. So I think like I'm going to go still with that. I think 2024 is going to be a year of like abundance. So that would be the award for it.
Amazing. Amazing. That's I love it. So we finish with this very positive vibe, abundance for everyone that is listening. If people that are listening to One Power Podcast today would like to get in touch with you or even submit a CV or work with you, how they can reach you?
So you can reach us through our Instagram. We have a link tree on there where you can drop us a message or get me on LinkedIn, drop me an email. Our Instagram is probably the best way to @IamFemale_LDN. And you'll be able to get us there.
Amazing. And for everyone that followed this interview so far, we have a little surprise, no?
Yes.
Yes.
So we've got, so we have 10% off our services for anyone that wants to come and work with us.
And be a little bit more bold and unapologetic.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Amazing. I like to finish the way we started. So my question now is, what is that you wish to stop fighting for?
So I wish to stop fighting for women to be treated and respected as equal human beings and not an addition.
Love it. Well, Annie, thank you very much. I knew from the beginning this was going to be a very inspirational, colorful and powerful interview, and I couldn't be more happy than have you here today with me.
Thank you. I love being here. So thanks so much for having me on. It's been really, really great.
If this was your first time listening to One Power Podcast, thank you for taking the time. You can find us on Podbean and Spotify. Subscribe to our newsletter on onepower.co. and keep up to date with all the future projects on all our social media at WomenPower UK. Thank you to all the women out there that are following and supporting WomenPower. I will continue to bring to you powerful, inspiring and positive stories from all over the world. Don't forget, together we empower women. This is Ilaria for WomenPower Podcast. Until next time.